This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso.
Hello and welcome to Seagull Social, Season 4, Episode 36. And we are looking back at Brighton versus Liverpool. Boys, how are we? Yeah. Ryan, you've had a long journey back. You're not even back yet. You're in Nottingham at the moment. How's your stopover?
Halfway back. May have a press conference tomorrow if I can get there. But we'll see. £70 train ticket, by the way. What an absolute disgrace that is.
Jack Albion, if you're listening, mate, sort it out.
Crazy,
mate.
Crazy,
he didn't even get the train. He got a lift.
No. I mean, from Midlands to home. That's wild. Yeah. £70. Crazy stuff. But yeah. Either way, mate, we're here. Good weekend, regardless. I suppose you could say, despite the result. But yeah, we got to talk about the game. More importantly, I thought we were all right. I'll put it out there before we start. I thought we made a good account of ourselves, and I got a bit of backlash for saying we deserve more. We'll get into it. But I did think we deserve more. Maybe a point. But yeah.
Love that. And Benjamin, you've had a long weekend as well for different reasons.
Absolutely cooked. I managed to watch the game.
What have you been up to?
Bank holiday weekend.
Nice.
Out on the lash.
Yeah, something like that. It was, yeah. Been fun. Managed to watch the game. And yeah, not really much to report, just absolutely shattered.
You answer for a busy weekend.
Yeah. All right, boys. Well, yeah, let's get straight into it. Me and Ryan locked eyes as well. We locked eyes in the at half time in the away end.
Oh yeah, we did.
That was a special moment. Like Ryan said, I thought we made a really good. I'll start. I thought we made a really good account of ourselves. I thought obviously the first was it minute and a half was incredible. That moment when that goal went in. Was just pure euphoria, which was, amazing. And, straight off the bat, I thought, do you know, this is going to sound mental. I thought we scored too early. And I thought against a team like Liverpool, to score that early on, naturally you're going to invite pressure. You're naturally going to have to, basically for the rest, 89 minutes, you're going to have to, and plus stoppage time, you're going to have to basically just get a bit of an onslaught, and we did at times. But I thought we gave a really good account of ourselves. We started bright. It was one of those games where we had chances. I think, like Ryan, I don't think you're too far off it. I think a draw, if we'd gone away with a draw, I don't think too many people would have been too surprised. But at the same time, they did create more overall, I'd say, and probably the quality of chances they had were probably better. I suppose they were good for their win.
The most frustrating part about it is, their first goal is from a mistake. If that doesn't happen, it's 1-0 when you come away with a really, really good point. But when we done the preview, I was like, I just want to come away from Anfield with a good performance. I feel like we did get that.
100%.
It's just even more frustrating that we could have actually got a point from that one. Obviously, Joel Veltman tried to clear the ball, but it fell to Luis Diaz, didn't it? But I do think, we played pretty well. And yeah, I agree that we did score too early, because then it just gave Liverpool the tools to just go and fight for a goal straight away.
It's an interesting point, Maz, on scoring too early, because it happens a lot, particularly to us. I can recall a few where we've sort of thrown it away, and maybe that's something that we would look back on, particularly in De Zerbi's tenure, where we've scored early, which is great. Sometimes it's the best thing that can possibly happen, but I don't know. There was no part of me that realistically thought we were still going to win yesterday, despite the sort of moment of the goal. And I don't know why that is. Is that a mentality thing? Is that something that maybe we should look at? Why can't we hold on to a lead? From an early goal, realistically, it shouldn't be like that, should it?
Do you know what it is? I think just to elaborate on my point is that I think against, let's say, for example, we're bottom three side, you go 1-0 up, usually you go on to dominate possession, you go on to dominate, statistically, and then get maybe a second goal and a third goal to sort of really solidify. But I think when you play against a top quality side like Liverpool, you know that a 1-0 lead, isn't safe. You know they're going to come at you. That you know they've got the quality to punish you. So I think, yeah, if we were playing, let's say, a bottom half team, that's I think fair. That early goal would have been perfect. It would have been great. It would have set us up for the afternoon, and we could have gone on to score two or three maybe. But yeah, when you come up against a top quality side like Liverpool, it's always going to be difficult. And you, yeah, I suppose you set yourself up for, unless you get that second goal, then yeah, you're going to expect them to come at you and create chances, which they did. And let's talk about the left-hand side, Ryan. I don't know if you agree with me here, but I think they really pinpointed Estupiñán, because a lot of the ball was going down our left, their right. And we weren't really utilising our right. And we were also attacking down our left, especially, you know, notably through Simon Adingra. Do you think Liverpool went into it targeting that left-hand side of ours?
Yeah, it looked like it, particularly the first half. I think the first sort of 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, I thought we were definitely being opened up way too easily. We sort of did for their goal, which won it for them in a similar sort of way. It was only lucky for us that who was at Salah, I think Connor Bradley had a couple, McAllister had a couple as well, where they weren't hitting the target at all. And that was lucky for us in the first half. But yeah, I think there was only so long that could happen before one of them was going to go in. And yeah, it was, I don't know what it is with Estupiñán. He really looks like a different player. And that's not to say that he was particularly bad yesterday, because he wasn't.
I thought he grew into it.
But he did. But it's, he's still not quite the level that he was that time ago, which is still the one thing that I still remember is, you know, the Estupiñán of old. And since his injury, he's still not quite come back that same player. It's a shame, really. And hopefully it's one of those things that is a form. And as you say, he did grow into the game, rightly so. And hopefully it's one of those things that he does turn around before the end of the season or going into the next one, because he's a shadow of the player that he was last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Just on that, Ben, what do you think about Estupiñán? Do you feel like it's just a rough patch that's going to come through? Because it was a point brought up about quality. So Calvin Phillips is a great example, right? We all know he's got the quality, but at the moment it's a mentality thing, in my opinion. Really? I think he's just mentally... a guy that won English Player of the Year. He was, you know, he's part of a treble winning side with Man City. I know he didn't start, but still he's a quality player, but
so
mentally,
Scott
he's really going through it. Well, yeah, but I think mentally, I think Calvin Phillips is definitely struggling. So do you think it's a mentality thing with Estupiñán or a quality thing?
I think, yeah, probably just lack of confidence, maybe. And like you guys have said in previous episodes, where like he's not playing with Mitoma, which he had such a good connection with, and that he probably brought out the best in Mitoma. Mitoma probably brought out the best out of Estupiñán. That on top of the injury and the timeout, coming back into the team, coming into a team that have been bang out of form as well. You know, obviously, last year, we, for the majority of the season, we were playing well. So I think anyone in that team was going to look good. But yeah, it's tough coming into a team that are out of form. But I mean, I think Liverpool was a massive, massive improvement, not just as a team, but for Estupiñán as well. I do think he was good. But yeah, it's obviously nowhere near the levels that he was last year. So yeah, I think it's probably a number of things like confidence and also playing in a team that's probably lacking confidence and form as well.
Yeah. And let's talk about the positives as well, because there was plenty, like I said, I walked away thinking, do you know what? We put a good account on ourselves. And there was a few players I want to discuss. And Ryan, we'll start with you. Let's start with Carlos Baleba, because I thought he was fantastic. I know fitness is still an issue with him, but he looks a great, great asset, especially with Gilmore potentially being out now for the rest of the season. How important is Baleba going to be now going into the rest of the season?
Yeah, that name you mentioned there, Billy Gilmore being gone for the rest of this. Well, we don't know, do we yet? I don't know what the longevity of the injury is, but the chances are we could be missing a fair portion of the games. But yeah, that's going to cost us a lot. And Baleba's going to have his moment now. He has to. I thought he didn't do too badly at all at Anfield by any stretch. When you look at the midfield they've got, you know, you look at obviously Alexis, I thought was pulling the strings for them. And I thought on the most part, he pulled his weight really well. Him and Moda were very interesting to me. Probably underestimated Moda's wide dynamic there. And I thought that really worked well with Baleba. Look, they have to work for us at the moment. You know, we've got a game in a couple of days. We haven't got much choice but to play pretty much the same 11. Which isn't what we want, but it's what we have to do. And Baleba's going to be one of those players. And I thought he did do a good job. He's clearly quality, but it's just about whether he's got, you know, that mentality, you know, if he does have a bad game to bounce back again, because he hasn't had to suffer with that situation yet. But I don't doubt his quality at all. We've said it before, haven't we?
He's clearly a big game player. I mean, his first good game was against Liverpool at home. So he obviously loves playing against the bigger teams, and maybe he finds himself doing his best performances against the bigger teams in a midfield like that. So yeah, that was nice to see that he can carry where, obviously, sadly, Billy Gilmore's been injured, and hopefully he can do a solid job there for the rest of the season. A bit like Caicedo did when he came to the team.
Yeah, I thought his ball carrying's immense. And he's actually got really good feet, I think, for his sort of profile, I suppose. I like the way he sort of takes on players. But one thing I did notice in the warm-up, mate, his shooting is diabolical, mate. Even in the game, he had that shot. That long-range shot he had in the game was just, it was poor, man. But, like, that's one thing. I think if he can add that element to his game where... Look, he's still super young. He's still got so much to progress and so much to learn. But if he can add that sort of shooting element or just that attacking sort of prowess, I suppose, to his game, I think he'll be a special, special player. But, yeah, still a long way to go, hasn't he, I think, in terms of his development.
It's like a little Yaya, isn't he, still, I think, is the best comparison, the way he drives forward. As you say, yeah, the shooting's nowhere near Yaya Toure, but the ball carrying and the sort of way he muscles his way through,
more like Kolo
Toure. Yeah, he's got that powerhouse physique, hasn't he? And I think that really it does work because it's weird because he's quite fast with it, which is unusual. But yeah, as you say, maybe get a couple more of them shots on target, and you're seeing a completely different player. But for what he's worth, mate, I think he's really, really good. He's only 19, 20, isn't he, still? So he's got a long, long way to go in his career. He's only going to get better in the next couple of years. Yeah.
And you mentioned Jakob Moda as well. And again, I think a big shout out to him because I've doubted him. And I think the ability's always been there. But again, obviously, injuries has killed him. And also, I suppose, confidence as well. Because, you know, when you're not starting, when you're not playing, that's always going to kill you as well. But yeah, Ben, Jakob Moda, I was seriously impressed with him yesterday. I thought it was weird, actually, because he started as a sort of like the third man in the front three, I suppose. So yeah, did you find that a bit surprising that he started where he did and how well he actually played?
Yeah, probably quite a surprise, but also at the same time, I think everyone just floats around. When I saw the formation on Sky Sports, they put him as like a left winger. I was thinking, fucking hell, like what? Normally Sky Sports get it wrong anyway, but that was just a thought that was laughable. But then, yeah, when I did actually see him play in that kind of position at the start, I thought, well, he's done a decent job. I was really surprised at how good he is with his feet for quite a big man. He seems like he's got really, really good ball control for a big guy. But no, I was really happy that he actually played well. I was quite worried when I saw him in the starting lineup because I kind of think his time at the club is over, unfortunately for him. But he kind of, I'm guessing he proved me wrong slightly against Liverpool. I think hopefully he can push on and keep playing well with all the injuries we got.
Yeah, Ryan?
Yeah, I think my biggest question was what's Moda good at? And that's not in a horrible way. It was what is the thing that makes you ready being in a De Zerbi team? And it sounds like I'm being really harsh, but I mean every player in a De Zerbi team or in a Brighton team these days have to have something that they're very, very good at because that's what makes them different. And I think Moda probably got lost a little bit with that under Potter, didn't he? Got played left wing back, but he was clearly quite good out wide. But way he drifted yesterday was very impressive and probably the most like De Zerbi performance that we've seen like last season's was yesterday. And that was quite reassuring to see personally. A lot more fluid, a lot more dynamic like we're used to seeing. And with all the controversy going around at the moment, I thought Moda was fantastic and really, really worked well in the De Zerbi system and given proof again that he's still ready to stick around. Because I agree, I was with you guys. I didn't think he was... perhaps, you know, at the level we need, but long may it continue for him.
No, 100%. And let's focus on the goals. We've touched on two of them, pretty much, but let's quickly just dissect them really quickly, each one. So obviously, the first one, Danny Welbeck, what an absolute strike that was. A little bit of fortune, I suppose, the way that the ball fell to him, but it was an incredible strike. And yeah, the euphoria, like I said, in the away end was incredible. Like no one expected it. I think we all in the preview we said about how, you know, we don't think we're going to go get anything from the game, but yeah, to score that early on and an incredible quality goal like that, Ben, what were your thoughts when that goal went in?
Yeah, it's pretty mad. I had my back to the TV. I was putting beers in the fridge still, and then I just heard everyone go mental. I was like, what the fuck? As if we've scored already. That was mad. I went absolutely ballistic when I saw the replay and everyone was going, what a goal from Welbeck. It was class. I think, who was it in the build-up that made a really good run? I can't remember if it was Purvis or Adingra, but someone made a really, really good run to create the goal before putting the ball into the box. It might have been Adingra. I'm not sure. Yeah, either him or Perth.
I can't remember. It was a blur.
Yeah, it was a great run from him as well. But yeah, incredible finish. You know, it's lucky for him to set up like that. But the way he hit it is an unbelievable finish and so well timed. And yeah, it's a very, very clean strike.
Yeah, unbelievable. Top bins, mate. What a strike it was. And yeah, Ryan, just quickly on Danny Welbeck. How important is it that he keeps fit for the rest of the season?
Yeah, oh, mate, massive. He's our best striker at the moment, best striker this season. And that goes without saying. But I think Daddy's overall play yesterday again was just fantastic. He was everywhere. His work rate, his closing down, his pressing was very good, probably better than what anyone else we've got at the moment. That's why him and João Pedro complemented each other so well, because they could cover so much ground together, and sort of the flicks, and they're on a similar wavelength of IQ levels, which was really nice. And probably the last time we really, really saw that was particularly that Palace goal, that fourth, that killer one. You know, we saw them both on the same wavelength and really covering so much ground. So to see Welbeck doing it on his own is impressive. I do feel like he needs someone with him. That would be, you know, to have Pedro back with him again soon is going to really, really help us, because, you know, we've gone into these games with so many injuries, as we keep saying. You know, could you imagine if we do keep Welbeck fit with João Pedro coming back for a few more games this season, particularly looking at the likes of Bournemouth and ones around us? You know, there's points there for us really to be looking at Europe, because if we go on the back of yesterday's performance, mate, it's still on 100%.
No, 100%.
It was frustrating with those injuries though, like, because during the game, I was looking at the bench and thinking, God, who can we bring on to, like, if Adingra's looking tired, we want to bring on some pace. I mean, that's a conversation in itself as well. The substitutions, how late they were. I feel like we probably should have made changes a bit sooner. But thinking, imagine if Enciso could have come on, like the impacts he would have had off the bench. And then I was like, oh, well, we got Fatty on the bench. And then he doesn't even come on. And it's just like, does Zerbi not rate him? I mean, unless I'm looking into that too much, but obviously he's had a pretty poor season for us. Obviously I saw him on the train. You guys know that. I said, good luck for the rest of the season. And then after saying that, he didn't even get a start. He didn't even get a minute against Liverpool. So cursed I cursed him. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to know what De Zerbi thinks of Fatty, because to not bring him on in a game where you think he'll be a great opportunity to come on left wing for Adingra and cause Bradley some problems late in the game, some fresh legs. I know he's not the quickest Fatty, but he still has pace. I found that mental they didn't come on.
I do agree with you. My mate G, he even said it literally as the game went on. He said it's too late. What's he going to do in 10 minutes? Like, how can you impact a game really and truly in 10 minutes? And also, yeah, just the lack of, I suppose, an Ansu Fati, for example. But yeah, interestingly, when obviously, who was it who came off and Welbeck went on the right or left and Ferguson went in centrally? Why can't they play together? I mean, I know they're similar profiles, and that's probably why. But when you're 2-1 down, you might as well just go two up front, you know what I mean? But again, I suppose they are similar profiles, and I do understand that you probably won't do that.
Like, he came on and made a decent impact. It's like, why did he not come on? Why did he not come on sooner? I really question De Zerbi's decisions sometimes, and lack of decisions and lack of plan B. It can be quite frustrating.
The biggest point of this whole point here is the Ansu Fati point is, you know, obviously a great player, whatever, massive hype when he signed. Big, big point was he was De Zerbi signing. You know, is this where this big conversation's breaking down? Is, you know, the players that De Zerbi perhaps has picked out hasn't been hits, have they? You know, we haven't, you know, he wanted Dahoud, he wanted Ansu Fati, you know, neither of which have done well. The other one's on loan. We sold him, haven't we, pretty much? He's loaned to buy, isn't it? So, you know, is that where it's all breaking down? It makes you wonder where the communication's gone. I look a little bit deeper into those substitutions, to be honest. And it was quite weird with Valentin Barco. I think he was warming up for a good 30 minutes, 25 minutes with just his kit on. Obviously, he's got a bib on. But, I mean, he's got himself ready to come on the pitch. And I'm just thinking, that's very unusual. You don't tend to see that. I mean, unless they've made it, you know, you've just scored or there's a big change in play. But then for him to then bring him on, and he looked very shell-shocked coming on, by the way. Yeah, not for his discredit. Yeah. He's just not ready quite yet. But, I mean, it was just a very weird substitution to me. I don't know what's going on in the higher-ups at the moment. But I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But I saw a little bit of the lack of communication there in those substitutions yesterday. And Lallana was a part of that. You can talk about him now if you want.
100%. Weird. Let's talk about Lallana. Yeah, so just to be clear straight away, Valentin Barco for me, he got dispossessed, I think, three times on the left when he came on. And, like, again, it's not. I'm not attacking him, but I think he just wasn't ready. And I think De Zerbi's actually killed him by bringing him on because he's made him look poor when he just clearly quite isn't ready to play. And especially
when
in a big
game.
When he could have played
against bigger clubs like this. Yeah,
exactly. So I think he's done him a disservice there because Valentin Barco came away from that looking really poor, to be honest, because I thought he got dispossessed three or four times, couldn't take on his man. Like, he just looked really sort of, Ryan said, sort of dishevelled and a bit shell-shocked. But Lallana as well, I want to talk about as well, because I'll start off on this because I was annoyed at his performances, and especially, I don't know if you boys saw his pre-match conversation as well on Sky, when he came on and said, I want Liverpool to win the league, which is fine, got no problem with that. But I think the manner he did it, with it being like, I think it was like half an hour before the game, you're playing against Liverpool. You know, as Brighton fans, we want to be winning this game. And to go on Sky Sports and saying like how he wants, I know he said he wanted Brighton to win the game as well. Let's just add that for context. But I just still think it's a bit unprofessional and a bit weird, to be honest with you, to come out with those comments before the game. And then to put in the performance that he did, which I thought was poor. All he does, in my opinion, I'm sorry, I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here. He just hobbles around. He just goes like this, tells everyone to push up, and then doesn't do any of the pressing himself. So what are you actually adding? What value are you adding to the team? I get it, behind the scenes, you're this experienced head and you bring a lot of wealth of experience and it's all great. But in my opinion, he should not be playing games. And that shot he had as well, and he dragged it wide. Like, come on, man. It's just poor, in my opinion. But yeah, before I say something to get cancelled, Ryan, what did you think of that?
Why do I have to be the one that follows this up?
Get cancelled, right?
I thought it was a bad performance. Probably one of three that I can think of with Lallana. I don't think that we've had too many bad performances from him in the last 4 years. But I think particularly in this season, but probably in the latter end of this season, we've definitely seen probably a bit of a fall off. Maybe in quality, I'd question a lot of yesterday, to be honest. I don't know if he was just coming on because it was against Liverpool and, you know, 100th Albion appearance at Anfield.
Yeah, that's,
I don't know, there was a bit of that to it. 100%. And, you know, it's all well and good, but, you know, a bit frustrating when you just want to win the game or at least get a point. Don't get me wrong, that might not have been the reason, but it did feel like it a little bit, and it felt a bit of a four sub. But, you know, perhaps if we're winning the game 2-3-0, which is very unlikely anyway, then fair enough, bring on Lallana and get his round of applause. But, you know, it wasn't like that. It was a game we were chasing and we're still in. So, yeah, weird sub, you know, one of a few weird subs, really. And I think I'm not quite sure, really, with Lallana, probably retire at the end of this season, I'd imagine. But, yeah, as for the comments before the game, yeah, I'm probably not so liking them either.
Everything is weird. Well, sort of everything probably a bit of an exaggeration, but I feel like a lot of stuff is weird lingering over the club at the moment. Like, especially comments with De Zerbi not committing next term and
let's
whatnot.
Talk about that as well, actually.
Now you're saying Lallana's, because I didn't know Lallana said that or what the context of it. I feel like that. Yeah, if you guys are saying it weird, then I back you guys. It just feels like there's a dark cloud lingering for some reason, even though I was so positive in the preview and still am about the rest of the season. But it's just. The De Zerbi stuff, and like, it all just puts a lot of stuff in the air, really, doesn't it?
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about De Zerbi. I just wanted to bring that up, actually, because, yeah, again, even his comments prior to the game and after the game, I thought were a bit cryptic. It's a bit, like you said, Ben, it feels like there's something going on that we're not, you know, privy to at the moment. And I think it all stems, from my opinion, from January transfer window, where he probably didn't feel like he was backed enough. And I suppose, do you know what? I sort of agree with him. I think now with Gilmore out, it's like it's centre midfield. We're really, really, really tight on that now with just a handful of players that can play in that position. So I think that's where it's all stemmed from. And yeah, I do find his comments weird, especially about, again, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something along the lines of, Brighton fans need to always like sort of respect me or you know remember me as a good manager because of the history we've made this season, no matter what happens to my future, something along those lines. And I found that a bit strange as well. It was sort of like, it gave me Graham Potter vibes, you know, when he like had a go at us. It was that sort of weird, like,
the history lesson,
you know. Yeah, it was a bit strange in my opinion. But Ryan, yeah, what do you think about De Zerbi's future? I know there's a lot of talks about him going to Liverpool, but I think he's now been ruled out of that. What do you think's going on?
I could tell you tomorrow.
if he's there. Yeah,
no, ask him.
I feel like a lot of us are already in 2024-25. I feel like my head's already there, to be honest, regardless of this season. And that's what's annoying, because I can't quite live this moment because I'm still thinking about the summer and I'm thinking about next season. And I feel like a lot of heads are there too. There's a big summer ahead. I think there's going to be a lot of change one way or another. We obviously need a lot of turnover without bloating the squad out. But the Zerbi stuff has been a bit strange. I think that, you know, the fact that now Naylor's openly come out and talking about it, I feel like there's a breakdown in communication relationships somewhere. I would imagine that it's probably quite obvious as to why. But I think that he's been quite outspoken as well. You know, and fair enough, the clubs have let him speak and I think he's allowed to speak. But I think when you've got like Muldera talking about Napoli, probably wasn't helpful. And like, there's just little bits and pieces I think that maybe we didn't need to have, like particularly with the Caicedo thing, you know, where you've got the media attention, you know, he talks about Chelsea, he talks about Arsenal, he talks about Manchester United, you know, the clubs that he was linked with, Liverpool, and it's just not very helpful for the club situation. So I think that's probably where we're at the minute. I don't know if he'll stay. I'm not so sure anymore, really.
I don't know, yeah.
It's probably last legs.
With Alonso, obviously, which is mental, and respect to committing to another season at Leverkusen, that leaves the door open to Bayern and Liverpool.
Have that, mate. Honestly, just some integrity, you know?
But then Bayern, obviously, then it came out this week, I can't remember what journalist, but someone I recognised, saying that De Zerbi's had talks or has spoken to, or Bayern Munich have contacted De Zerbi. It's like, if you do believe that, then it's just, yeah, that's why I guess maybe there is that feeling in the air around the club at the moment that there's just a lot of uncertainty. And yeah, I'm completely
during
with you, Ryan.
During the season as well, that's what's the worst bit.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that. It's. I think it's so unprofessional. And I think, I know Amorim is linked with the Liverpool job, but as well as someone I read that we obviously have him as like a contingency, but I don't, you know, if he's linked with Liverpool.
Well,
he's
top
gonna...
of our list, wasn't he?
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. And I know Tony Bream always has, you know, he has a manager always lined up, which is great. And I'm never worried about, like I said, that's why I think, I know this is going to sound controversial, but I don't know if I've said this on the pod before, but if De Zerbi left, you know what? I wouldn't be that upset. He's done amazing things for us and I would love him to stay. I'm not saying I want him to go. I would love him to stay. However, if he was to leave, I wouldn't be that upset. I think that, you know, like I said,
at
the moment,
club so much to do it.
Exactly, to replace him. Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I feel like also as well, yeah, like some of the stuff he's coming out with, it's like, come on, man, like have a bit of respect for the club and for the fans. Like, even if you're thinking it, just keep it till the end of the season. Like, keep it until we finish the season. You know, wherever we finish. But just don't come out now and start being all cryptic and, you know, all weird. And also, I'll be honest with you, there's been times, especially Roma, when we lost 4-0, I've questioned his managerial, I suppose, quality. You know, sometimes he does get things wrong. I don't think he's the finished article. I don't think he is a Liverpool manager right now. I think he should give us another year, develop his craft, keep developing it, and then go on. We've seen with Graham Potter, he left too early, in my opinion, and we all know how that ended. So if you want to go down that route, go for it, you know. But
I do think,
in my opinion,
De Zerbi has that. I think he has that mentality where he thinks he can do it. I feel like Graham Potter probably thought it was going to be a step too far, but one that you couldn't turn down, so he just had to do it. But I feel like with De Zerbi, he probably thinks he can do it. With obviously bigger, better players, better budgets. Yeah. But I don't know, I just feel, you said it's no respect to the fans and the club. Also, like the players, like imagine if you're knowing that your manager is potentially going to leave and there's 100%. A lot of stuff going on around it. They
can down
it will
tools.
Affect them as well. Yeah, it can down tools. Yeah, exactly.
No, 100%. And Ryan?
Yeah, I think you've said most of it, really. I don't know. I'm trying to, you know, say the right thing here. I think it's just we wait till the end of the season. I think that the focus now should just be finish the season. What happens after, I don't know. Whether he walks, whether we, you know, terminate, I don't know. Or he stays. And, you know, there's still 2 years left on the contract. There's nothing that's saying he will leave at the end of this season in terms of contract-wise. You know, he's got 2 years left. And if it doesn't happen and you don't get the move, you don't get whatever, you're here, right? So you got 2 years on the contract. You signed the deal and that's that. I don't know if Rufio has given his opinion soon, but I think he probably agrees with me in terms of the contract signed. There's 2 years on the deal, and you honour the contract, and you honour the club and the fans and the players, as you've said, staff, etc. Everyone.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Finishing point. Bring in Liam Rosenia, and bring back Aaron Connolly.
Yeah, send the pod. Yeah. Nice.
Just off the back of that then, boys, off the back of that, it's a great question. What is a good finish to the season then? Now, at this point, so we're currently on 42 points in ninth position, and I believe top eight gets some kind of European football. So, Ben, we'll start with you. What now, from this point onwards, is a good finish for us, and what would you be happy with, I suppose? Because I know my answer, but...
Seventh. Give me Conference League. Give me that now. Obviously, I think Europa League will be too tough to get. Because we're fighting what, West Ham and Newcastle. Sorry if I've forgotten anyone else, but I feel like it's just them guys we're competing
with. Wolves, Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah, not a good joke. Maybe Wolves. Also, sorry, I was just thinking of Wolves. I can't believe Gary O'Neill was linked with a coaching job at Man United. I thought that was so disrespectful. Yeah, he's a manager, mental. Mate. I was about to swear. I've done like 180 episodes and I thought swearing was wrong. I thought that was fucking disgraceful. To be honest, pretty disrespectful to Gary O'Neill. Going back to your question, Conference League, I'd absolutely love that. Give me some European trips again next year in a competition we could potentially get to the final and win.
Ryan?
Yeah, I think, well, we've got a manager that's linked with Bayern Munich. So get us to Europa League, get us to Conference League, right? So, you know, if it's... You know, there's so much big talk in the media and stuff. Let's get the big deliveries and get Europa League again. You know, we want that sort of spot. We want to compete at the highest level. We want to finish in the highest possible point. Surely, surely Bayern Munich aren't going to seriously be looking at someone if they didn't believe that he could get Brighton in this situation into the Europa League. So I think that there's still the chance. Until I see a complete reason as to why we can't, I'll stick with the Europa League aim. Because I don't want to, you know, lessen my aims. But after watching the game the other day with West Ham Newcastle, I do think we're still better than both of them. I think, you know, obviously Gilmore's out and that's what's very difficult. But having João Pedro coming back is going to be a good timing. Just hopefully we get Julio back rather than later. I think it's going to be a few games, isn't it? So, yeah, I'm still looking at Europe. Hopefully Europa League, Conference League, very bare minimum. I think that's the standard we've set and that's the standard we want to keep.
No, agreed. Yeah, I'm the same as you boys. I think seventh or eighth is more than realistic considering we're in ninth now. So, yeah, seventh or eighth. I think Man United are just a step too far. I think we're 6 points behind them now. You never know.
Playing final game, don't we?
Yeah, that could be key. That could be a big one, yeah. I think, like you said, Ryan, I think it really depends on who we bring, like who comes back, who, you know, because we got quite a few long-term injuries now, which is... You know, Mitoma, Gilmore, obviously March is a long-term injury. I think it just depends on who we can get back at that point. But let's just finally finish off on, just give a bit of praise, I suppose. I thought it would be quite nice just to give a bit of praise to Ali Mack, because obviously an ex-player we all respect and love. And he was fantastic yesterday. I thought him
best
and
Quonsa.
Yeah, well, McAllister was
Quonsa,
definitely...
Mate, was but Quonsa
was brilliant. I like, credit to him. He was fantastic. He kept us... he
Nothing
was just brilliant
got
past for
them.
Him. Yeah. But, let's talk about quickly McAllister. Like, do you know the irony for me is we lost McAllister, who is the exact player that we need right now. You know, and yeah, he was brilliant. And
which is the Zerbi's frustrations, eh?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. But no, yeah, a touch of class. Well, he came and he clapped the away in. I thought that was a nice touch of class from him, as we expect from him. But yeah, he was just pulling the strings. How good was he yesterday, Ryan?
Oh, he was brilliant. I thought he was going to get himself sent off, which would have been quite funny. But no, he was good. I liked that he clapped us at the end because I did think he wasn't going to. I was keeping a very long eye on him, to be honest. I was just making sure. I was just looking at him. I was thinking he's going down the tunnel. He's probably speaking to some of the staff. See if he comes back out. He did. So he gave him a little applause on the way out. But yeah, no, he was good. Give him credit where it's due. Liverpool are a very, very good team. Said at the time they're just better than us on the day, weren't they? Quality all round. McAllister's a massive part of that. Probably one of the man of the matches. And yeah, good performance.
Just quickly on that, Mo Salah, I thought he was very average. Missed a lot of chances, but he scored a goal. And I think that just shows the difference. Just shows the difference. Yeah. The top quality player is going to do that for you. But
he's
yeah,
the best
Ben...
worst player ever, isn't he, Mohamed Salah? He looks like he's shit at football, but somehow it produces magic and is obviously really fast, so he gets away with it. But it's weird. I don't know. Yeah, he does. Do you know what I mean?
I've got to be honest. I really do like Salah as a player. Like,
no, I do. I mean, he's very good, but also looks like a donkey sometimes as well.
Like early Haaland. Manages to,
yeah,
Haaland at the league two player. Fair enough.
But no, Ali Mack. I don't want to be the classic. Look how far we've come, but it's actually mad. We've sold one of our players to Liverpool, and then we've gone to play him at Anfield, and the best player on the pitch is the player Brighton sold to Liverpool. It's quite something. Yeah, he was so good.
It's got to be the steal of the century, isn't it? 55 million?
Well, what is it? 35 to 55? It's not even 55 yet, is it? Unless they win some trophies.
55, yeah. I think it's performance related, I think.
He's got to win another World Cup. Right, boys, been an absolute pleasure. Just to summarise, I suppose, really good performance, I thought, considering, just wasn't enough on the day, and Liverpool were the winners ultimately. But we had chances and we could have gone away with the draw. Don't think I would have been too harsh on us. But yeah, one of those days, and onwards to Brentford, which is a huge game, and we are going to preview that.
Should we quickly talk about it for like 5 minutes?
Don't
we just
do
talk
it, Neil.
5 minutes about Brentford?
Do you think
you guys need to go?
Just do 5 minutes on my
Do you want to do it? Okay. I just got to quickly grab my charger because I'm on 9%. But yeah, you lock chat and then I'll...
All right. Okay.
All right.
You lead. You lead the Mope chat, Ryan.
All right. We'll just finalise a little bit on Brentford then while Maz goes and gets his charger. It'd be quite funny, actually, if his laptop did die. That would be some good content. But no, we'll talk about Mope then. In fact, Brentford in general. Ivan Toney scares me. And Neil Mopo scares me, but other than that, I think we should be going there and winning, shouldn't we? Really, we should be going there and winning.
They played very well against Man United, from what I saw.
They did,
like, really good.
They did.
But also, Man United were probably quite rubbish as well. So maybe it's a mixture of both. They haven't been, haven't had a good season, Brentford, but they do have good players that are very threatening, like Mbeumo, Toney. Will Mope cause some troubles? Who knows? But I completely agree. Toney is the one that scares me the most. He can cause us
of
a lot of troubles. Was it last season?
Sky like Brentford, before? Don't they? I've heard something about that. I've heard that Sky quite like talking about Brentford. I don't know.
Sky?
It might be true, but that's what I've heard. Yeah. Honestly, mate. Every single time, Brentford are on Sky. Then they're talking about Brentford. Then they've got a paid advert with Brentford. Like, mate, they're literally Sky Sports is Brentford. That you may as well
and
just
Leeds.
Say you're the same thing.
Nah, yeah,
and
Leeds.
Fairs.
Leeds TV.
Leeds fairs.
They do love Leeds. But yeah, let's talk about Brentford then, boys. We've always had a bit of need, haven't we? Obviously, with Tony Bloom's connections to Benham, there's always been a bit of need with Brentford. They absolutely dominated Man United, let's be honest. I thought Man United were really lucky to get a point in that match. And yeah, Brentford looked good. And I suppose, I wouldn't say they're fighting for their lives because they're not in like the bottom three, but they are down there. So that's going to give them that extra, I suppose, incentive, isn't it, to try and get a win from us.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're, yeah, as you say, Ben, they're good. I don't think we've beaten them there apart from that Trossard goal, have we? As in the Premier League. I don't recall.
Hyper Turk, wasn't it? Trossard.
Yeah, but the only one I can think about. We tend to just have a bit of a bad day there, don't we? But I could be wrong. False memory sort of thing. But I don't really care. I think we should still be looking at it as a win. You know, it's a game that we should be going to win.
Why the hell did I... Why? Why balloons?
That was impossible to ignore as well.
So if you're a listener, sorry, my balloons have just come on my screen for some reason. I actually have no idea
like
why.
Ben's just appeared with balloons, and that was impossible to ignore. But no, I do think it's a game we should be winning. Of course it is. If we are serious about going for Europa League or Conference League, we have to be going to Brentford and saying we want to win that game, because there's no otherwise an in-between, is there?
Sorry. Agreed. I think it's one of those games we have to go and win that game if we're serious about getting Europe again. But let's talk about a few of their players then. Of course, Neil Mopay is going to probably be the standout for us because obviously he does loves his shit house. But I think he really respects us. And me and Ben, obviously, we were lucky to meet him earlier in the season, and he talked really, really highly of us and said how much he respects Brighton, and he's actually. Would love to come
biggest
back and that kind of stuff. So yeah, his biggest regret was leaving. Yeah, so I don't think he's ever going to go mental against us, but he's always a threat, isn't he? And
you never know, though. Tony. He could do it as a joke. He could do it as a joke and go over to us.
To be fair, if we won the game and he just did it, but we still won, I'd let it slide. Just because it's Mopay, I'm all right with it, because it's just his character, isn't it? So if he does some of our fans get rattled, it would be quite funny.
What have he done, the Adebayor? Like, he scores not in the end where the away end is.
Then I'll be annoyed at him.
He scores on the other side, runs to the length, and does the Adebayor. I never think that would be so good.
That's too far. But, Ivan Toney, for you, I know it goes without saying, but is he the main threat? Is there other players that worry you, Ben?
Yeah, and Buemo. Toney as well. And anyone else that I can think of off the top of my head? Not really. Wisser sometimes randomly gets goals as well. But I think, Tony's the one. I remember, I don't know if it was last year or the year before when Tony scored that like back heel. We just got completely battered by them. Robert Sanchez is in goal, so maybe it wasn't last year. What was the score last year when we played him?
2-0 away.
What, they beat us
2-0? That was so ridiculously quick. I shouldn't have known that well. I don't even know how that came to
it. No. Last year was 2-0,
was it? That was 2-0. I think so. That was the Zerbi's, or maybe it was the Zerbi's first game. Yeah, it was the Zerbi's
first. Yeah, it was.
One of the Zerbi's first games. 2-0 away.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was Ivan Toney got penalty, and I want to say it was a header as well.
Yeah.
I feel like. But yeah, we didn't do very well. It was a pretty rubbish day, and it was when everyone was questioning the Zerbi, and here we are, everyone's questioning the Zerbi again. For different reasons, 2 years later.
Jesus.
It's going to be a very fascinating game, I think. Especially away. So it's going to be one of those games where we suppose what do we want to see from Brighton, like in terms of formation and the personnel. And Ryan, in terms of personnel and formation, who would you want to see start? Who do you not want to see start? All that good stuff, Ryan.
I'll actually double down on my joke. I don't actually care. I just want to see it win, because we haven't won in a while. And I think when I look at the team we've got at the moment, it's still capable. I must admit that was a little surprised from yesterday. I thought, we've got these injuries. And then I saw the first 11. I thought, actually, it's not that bad at all, is it? And I think that team is capable of going to Brentford. A pretty similar team to Liverpool would be nice. I get that it is a few days later. But just having maybe that added bit of experience, perhaps you can make a case for an Ansu or something to come in. But I don't know. I thought that the majority of players performed quite well. I wouldn't, if it was me, have too many changes, obviously dependent on fitness. But if João Pedro is fit, it'd be good to have him on the bench at least. But I don't know. We'll see, won't we? That's for me. I'd keep it relatively similar.
Ben, any changes?
Yeah,
pretty much
the same. I just would love to see Ansu Fati actually be a good player for us. That would be nice. Just like for him to just become the star player that we thought he was and to help us with this run.
I've got a lot of question marks over Ansu, I'll be honest.
Maybe Facundo. Facundo could have a good.
Yeah. I've liked Facundo this season. He's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bonanotto, definitely. All right, boys, let's finish on a match prediction then. As we all know, we love a match prediction here at Seagull Social.
Yeah, love it.
So, Ryan, as you love them so much, do you want to kick us off, mate?
I'd rather not. Let's think. Do you know what? I'll be positive because it's very hard to be at the moment, but I will be positive. And I'll say 2-1 Albion. And that sounds really like playing it safe, doesn't it? But I do actually think that, because I think it'll be one of them narrow games. I don't think it'll be easy. In fact, if Bart's playing, we could even actually keep a clean sheet.
Shout out to Bart, by the way. My number one.
Fantastic save.
My number one. Yeah, what a guy, man. Like, that's another thing with De Zerbi. No, agreed. He's still not perfect, but in my opinion, he's way better than Jason Steele. And that's no disrespect to Jason Steele, because he's been fantastic for us. But you can say he's better saying Steele is shit.
He's shit. No disrespect, but he's a lot worse.
No, I'm saying Verbruggen is better goalkeeper. I'm not saying Jason Steele's crap. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's a better goalkeeper. But yes, that's another thing, that a question mark. You know, like, De Zerbi, why throughout the season, why have you been flip-flapping between the two? Just play Bart Verbruggen. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, anyway, let's go back to match predictions. I'm going to go with 1-0 Brighton over Albion.
Nice. I was feeling a 1 as well, actually.
Keep a cheeky clean sheet.
We always make a mistake.
We are keeping a clean sheet, Ben.
We're not, mate. We'll make a mistake. We always find a way to make a mistake.
Thinking we are.
2-1 Brighton. 2-1 Brighton. It's going to be a mistake, because we always do it.
All right.
Love it. Well, boys, it's been an absolute pleasure. I know we're all tired. We're all exasperated.
I'm so hungry. I'm not going to lie. I'm so hungry.
This is what we do for the podcast. So everyone listening and watching, this is what we do for you guys. And we really appreciate all your support and always tuning in. So make sure to like, comment and subscribe. And we shall see you after the Brentford game. And comments down below. Ben, quickly.
De Zerbi thoughts, please. Sorry, Ben.
Ooh, comments down below.
We haven't done one for a while. So a bit rusty.
Fatty, where are you?
Fatty, where are you?
Fatty,
where are you? Or give us your opinion on De Zerbi and whether he'll stay or he'll go. But guys, without further ado, thank you so much for tuning in, and we shall see you after the Brentford game. Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.